still known as Bradfo, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball's not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. on WEEI.
Let's go. Baseball isn't boring. I profess it to be true. I don't care what people are saying. I don't care if people are now in their bunker, in their Drake-May bunker. I don't care. Baseball's not boring because we got a ton of stuff to talk about. I am Rob Bradford of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, at BB Isn't Boring. And we are live here at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios, the Fenway Ford Clubhouse Studios. Which is it, Ken?
Kerrison. Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios.
Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios. I don't think they mind the fact that I say it any which way because they're all awesome. Everybody knows that. All right, we're going to be on with you until 3 o'clock, and we're going to be talking baseball. I want the passion to come out. I want the anger to come out. I want the optimism to come out. I want the vitriol to come out. Whatever you want. I wrote today on WEEI.com. It's the ultimate. What you should have taken away from last night's game in Minnesota, or against Minnesota. It was not in Minnesota. I did not do a slinky at Target Field. What we should have taken away was what could have been, what might have been, because the Twins are not a good team. Yet we could be sitting here in a couple weeks and saying, oh, you know what? You know what's great? Twins media day at the World Series. Like, that's what you could be talking about, and that's just sad. That's just sad because the Red Sox could have been that team, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yes, I know people say, well, they aren't equipped to do that, and you are correct. But in July, they were equipped to do that. If you made the right moves, if you made the right adjustments, if players played better, if players didn't get hurt, you would have had that conversation that the Minnesota Twins are having right now. But instead, you are having the opposite conversation. You are having the conversation of the biggest series of the year, and it's not the Minnesota Twins. It's the Toronto Blue Jays. It is, you are going to Toronto to try to not finish in last place for a third straight year. That is where you are at with the Boston Red Sox. All that said, .. The play testing guys are here. All right, Gordo, say hi.
What's going on, Bradfo?
Sammy, say hi.
Is my mic working?
Good.
I heard you loud and clear.
Excellent. Okay, hi, hi.
Pat, say hi.
How's it going?
All right. Pat, you got to be more energetic. Come on. What do you say? Let's do a round of McFarland.
I was about to say, you got a McFarland. Yeah,
okay, Pat, we'll do it in reverse order. Pat?
McFarland.
Oh, easy. Don't blow the woofers of tweeters. Let's go. Gordo?
McFarland.
All right, Sammy?
McFarland.
All right. Were people down in Punta Cana screaming McFarland?
I actually heard it a few more times than you would have expected.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. That's exactly the amount of times I would have expected. Hundreds and hundreds of times.
And I heard it like 100 and plus a few.
Did your Baseball Isn't Boring stickers and wristbands pass through customs?
I still have my Baseball Isn't Boring wristband on. So, yes, pass through customs twice.
We were meant to get them in Spanish before your honeymoon, but we did not do that. But those are coming as well. There's a lot of good stuff coming with Baseball Isn't Boring, and we appreciate everybody who follows, subscribes, listens, partakes. We're going to get to my crazy week. We're going to get to Gordo's honeymoon. We're going to get to all of that. We get a lot of stuff coming on. Natalie Norrie's coming by for the last hour to do the Wasabi Challenge once again. It was both figuratively, literally red hot because everybody was talking about Tyler Murray. This is what happens. When you do the Wasabi Challenge, good things happen. You know how I know? Just 2 days after Tyler Murray did it, he got the Knicks job. It's science. So Natalie's got big things coming down the road for her. She's very talented. Worcester sideline reporter, Nesson, Hockey East, all of that. She earned her way back here by being excellent, and you guys have earned your way back by being excellent, starting in spring training. Excellent job. All right, let's get to the brass tacks, all right? 617-779-7937. I'm just going to go around the room. This is just going to be some guys talking about the great game of ball and this ball club known as the Boston Red Sox. But the first thing I will say, as we sit in our couches, as we sit here in the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios, in our luxurious surroundings, just guys talking. As I sat down with Mookie Betts a couple days ago, we're just talking, Mookie. We're just chopping it up, okay? And the first thing I would ask you guys as you walk in that door, are you mad, sad, or just whatever? Sammy, since you're closest to me on my right, you go first.
I'm depressed.
Okay.
This is like supremely depressing to me.
All right. That's good.
Oh, you're mad.
Oh, hold on. No, 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 no.
He's mad. He's lying to you.
He's documented. He's depressed. We have one Like he's Joe Braverman, write this down. One, who are depressed, okay? All right. Now, Gordo?
I'm numb to it right now. I'm numb to it. Last night's loss didn't hurt me. It was just, oh my God.
That's because you're still all aglow from your pina coladas.
No, I think it's because in my head and in my heart, I knew it was over.
When you got on the plane for Punta Cana.
By that point, that was after the Mets series.
Well, if we want to do science and stats and analytics, let's break it down since you left the country.
Oh, so bad.
Not great.
Really bad.
Not all of us could like watch games in a pool.
This team
Some of us
me.
Actually had to suffer through it. Oh, yes. When did you return to the stateside?
2 days ago.
All right, then it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You've been bad.
I cut the cord, you can't bring it back to life.
Depressed, and what do you say? I already forgot.
Numb.
Depressed, numb, Pat.
I'm going to go with devastated.
Devastated. Look at you. Devastated. All right, devastated. Listen, he's a pro. Pat's a pro. He knows, don't go halfway. Either you're happy or you're euphoric or you're devastated. I don't know if I have a word for it. My word, because I'm numb from this week. I'll get to that in a second. I'm still numb from this week. But I'm just like, I just come back to, and this isn't one word, but what a missed opportunity. Like, I look at the Twins, yeah, you know, they buried the Red Sox. They buried the season last night, right? A season that was already buried. I mean, we can document the other times that the season has been buried by other teams, but last night officially just buried it. But then you look across, and it's like, that's what you should have been. Like, all you had to do was be that.
That's sad.
Yes.
The Twins?
Okay.
I don't want to be the Twins ever.
All right. But, hey, would you be shocked? Would you be shocked? And don't say no, because if you say no, you're wrong. That if they land in the World Series.
Yes, absolutely.
Well,
you'd be shocked.
Then you're wrong.
The Twins?
You would have said the same thing about the Diamondbacks last year.
If the Twins make it to the World Series, I will eat an entire tube of wasabi.
Oh.
You're saying the Wait, well, I thought you were saying down. The same thing. Aren't you both saying you're going to be surprised if the Twins are in the World Series?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Saying
you're not going to be
I'm
surprised.
I'm not going to be surprised. I'm not surprised if you make it this is my overall point. Is it if when this – I can hear it. Ken, I'm sorry. I just broke some of the furniture, pounding the desk. But this is my overall point. Is that the way that this crappy American League is now – and let's make no mistake about it. It is crappy.
It's bad.
It's bad, right?
Yeah.
And so you have – if you make it to the postseason, I don't care if you're the Twins who have lost a million games in the last month. I don't care. Like, where you land, because if you go back to the Diamondbacks last year, not only did they finish, with 84 wins? Mm-hmm. Not only did they weren't even that good in September. They were a 500 team in September. So all I'm saying is that the way this is set up is that if you get in, then – you got a chance if you're in the, especially if you're in American League. That's a fact.
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
Do you believe looking at it like it's the Twins? They're not a team that's going to make a run. They're the Twins.
That's stupid.
No, it's true. They
just said that about the Diamondbacks.
Again, this we're going to keep defaulting to the Diamondbacks. We could keep defaulting to the Rangers last year. The Rangers, oh my goodness, they don't have a bullpen. They don't have a closer.
They almost missed the playoffs.
Yeah, but the Twins are like one of those teams that you just look at like, oh, we get the Twins in the first round. Heck yeah, this is great.
Yeah, you know what? You know who was saying that last year? Whoever played the Diamondbacks.
No.
Was that the Brewers?
No. No, because you could just point to their pitching and be like, look at their pitching.
No.
Twins don't have that.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Diamondbacks? Yeah. They
last
had
year, they Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly. Oh, my God. Zach Gallen
is Zach
Merrill
Gallen,
Kelly.
You have Zach Gallen. Merrill Kelly.
Was nasty.
He's good, but like in a playoff rotation, like last year, maybe.
You're like, oh, who's the number three starter? Brandon Fott. Oh, like,
who's
my
that?
God, Brandon Fott. Oh, number four. Oh, we're doing bullpen games in the World Series.
Am I being too hard on the Twins? Though?
Yes, you are.
All right. Well, I mean what I said. I will.
It's
the entire
bias.
Tube of wasabi if the Twins make it to the World Series.
Let's
the entire
hold
tube.
All right.
Oh, we're rooting Twins.
Oh, this.
Let's go.
Bring
please,
it on.
Please, Twins. Please.
We might need to have a pep talk in that clubhouse after this show.
I'm sitting on the third base sideline.
We're a Twins podcast.
I don't think it'll work.
We'll get Pablo Lopez's ear. He's your grocery buddy.
Oh, yeah. I run it. Listen, I just walk. I walk around Whole Foods in Fort Myers. I walk into Pablo Lopez. Like, this is the thing, too, is that with the Twins, Pablo Lopez, name some other stars.
Exactly.
Joe Ryan.
Out for the season.
Whatever.
Who's closing games for him? Duran has like a 3.5 ERA.
Whatever.
Griffin Jackson is really
well,
good.
Okay. I read some article on Baseball Savant today, MLB.com, that made my head hurt, which, you know, usually happens. But it was about why the Tigers are so good. The Tigers are the hottest team, right? Tigers.
Yeah.
And, okay, I want you to name me three starters. And good luck after the first one.
Casey Mize.
There you go.
Okay.
One.
All right. Again. Oh, my goodness. Casey Mize?
Not afraid of him.
No, but this is the point. This is the overall point. And even with the Yankees, and I know that our good friend Four Finger Cole, you know, pitched well last night.
Four Finger Cole.
TM, copyright it. Thank you.
Can we use that on playtesting?
You owe me $5. Yeah, sure. Deal. But he pitched well. But still, the Yankees, you still have it. Like, yes, it was. Make the T-shirt. But this is the point, is that this is why Gerrit Cole may be the most important guy in the whole ball of wax here. Because the Yankees, I would say, we can all agree, tell me if I'm wrong, the Yankees would be considered the favorites in the American League. On this awful American League, the Yankees are probably the favorite. Right, Pat?
Yeah. I would agree. Yeah. Yes.
You would concur, Gordo?
It pains me, but yes.
All right. If you get that version of Four Finger Cole sitting there heading into the postseason, I love Nestor Cortes. Like, we at Baseballs and Boring have proclaimed him the guy who is going to emerge as the guy that we didn't think would emerge. I don't know if that fits on the trophy. But still, Nestor Cortes, great, right? Fine. All right. Who else?
Luis Gil.
Oh, exactly. All right. Does he scare you? No. The whole point, and then you have a closer. You don't know what's going on with Clay Holmes.
What about Houston? I feel like we're sleeping on Houston
a bit. Committee.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Joe. Fine, Houston. But does Houston scare you?
But the overall point here is that
the overall point is the American League stinks.
None of these teams are getting to 100 wins.
Okay, let's spin this back to the Red Sox. Okay, so if the Red Sox, the July Red Sox, the pre-Dodger Series Red Sox, would not only have absolutely been in the playoffs, but they absolutely would be like, here you go. They're certainly good enough. And even back then, guys, we were saying the Red Sox, oh, they're not good enough. There's a rebuilding year. And they were 10 games over 500. But can you imagine having that team right now and heading into the postseason against these other teams? You'd be like, let's go.
Yeah, at least you got a shot. It would feel good. They had chutzpah back then, but I don't know what happened to all that. Chutzpah.
It's what we said in the middle of the season. We were having these conversations, just get in, because even in the middle of the season, it didn't look like anyone was that good. And it's just get in, and we'll see what happens. Because, again, last year, you saw it with the Diamondbacks and the Rays.
But this year is even more that way.
Yeah, exactly.
The National League and American League are dramatically different.
Mm-hmm.
Dramatically different. I just was embedded in the National League race this week. Right? I can tell you, better teams. The American League, let's go through them. Yankees, Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City, Cleveland, Minnesota, Detroit potentially Seattle. Oh, my goodness.
There's no standout.
And that July version of the Red Sox could have beat them all. Not this version. Let's not get this twisted, mm-hmm. Right? Not this version of the Red Sox. So, why are we sitting here this? And I'm going to go around the room real quick. And again, I see everybody online, and we'll get to you after Trent. 617-779-7937. Top reason why we are not sitting here with the Boston Red Sox having this conversation, which we pine for. Why, Sammy?
It's exactly what the Playtesty crew said at the halfway point of the season. We said too many strikeouts in the lineup. It's going to come back to bite them. And I mean, did you watch the game last night? It came back to bite them.
20 strikeouts.
Painful.
Last night. 20 strikeouts.
God.
Tied for a team record.
So, that sounds fake.
Team record 2001. I mean,
oh my god. Hey,
no, I'm saying that. I'm not. You're looking at me like I'm criticizing you. No. I'm like, congratulations for surfing 2001. And by the way, already, I believe I looked this up this morning. At 30 strikeouts above the team record total for the most strikeouts ever by the Red Sox, and you still have 8 games to play.
Did they pass Seattle? Because they was pretty close with the strikeouts, them and Seattle, for worst in Major League Baseball.
Oh, my goodness.
And the Rockies, too.
No, not even close.
The
Rockies are number two.
Because I checked last week, and the Red Sox were
third. It's not even close. It's like, you know what? Those two things, here's two stats which I'm going to default to. Not even close stats. Where you have that, and you also have bullpen runs given up. I love this. The bullpen's runs given up since the All-Star break. The Red Sox are, I think they're just under 30 more than the next team. You know who that team is? The White Sox.
Oh,
Rob, they've averaged 11.5 strikeouts a game for
okay.
2 weeks now.
Yeah. I got That's the stats. Insane. I got the stats for strikeouts. Seattle's still number one with 1,556. The Red Sox are second in the American League with 1,508. So they're catching them. Seattle's probably going to win that sad competition because of how bad they were to start. But the fact that the Red Sox are making it close.
I don't think your numbers
why,
are correct.
Why has it
I'm going to go check that out.
MLB.com. That's not, it's a good source.
I don't trust the internet. Anyway, Gordo, what do you got?
To me, obviously the lineup is the glaring issue right now. You can point to everything at some point being a glaring issue, whether it be the offense, the defense, the starting pitching, the bullpen. But to me, the collapse started, as you said, Rob, the Dodgers series with the bullpen.
Bullpen,
Dodgers, Rockies, moving forward. That, what was it, 2 weeks where there were maybe five or six incredibly winnable games that the bullpen just blew, whether it be because they were hurt or because guys you felt like you could trust, in the end you couldn't trust them. That two-week period killed the season.
Your acumen has never been better. You're right on. And I'll say this, is that coming out of the All-Star break, this is one of the fatal flaws that they had, which was not understanding, coming out of that, A, not understanding that you're going to have to lean on guys that you probably shouldn't have to lean on. And also, you were down Slayton, you were down Martin. You were down
Colorado, you were down Jansen.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, down two eighth-inning guys. Definitively, if you had one or both of them, you would have won two of those games in the Dodgers.
Yep.
And then you know, we don't know, but they know that Kenley isn't pitching in Colorado. You're down your top three end of the bullpen guys. Then, so now you're swimming upstream already because the other guys are falling apart. Now you get to the deadline and you say, okay, we understand this. We need two relievers. Well, you didn't identify the right guys. And this is good for you for trying to do it. But part of the problem and part of the things that they have to look at going forward is how they identified players. This is a very real thing. And I don't know if with Luis Garcia, if they got damaged goods. I mean, this is a thing. I have a hard time with Garcia thinking that this guy who was so consistent throughout his entirety of his career and even this year was so bad when the plane landed in Logan.
Yeah.
So anyway, before we go to a break, Pat, what's your top thing?
I'm going. We were talking about, I think, back in May, the inevitable fatigue. Like, you had guys outperforming. You just had guys outperforming the first half of the season. You knew there was going to be wear and tear, inevitable fatigue, and it felt like they didn't do much or anything to supplement those guys.
So that's an excellent point, too. And it comes back to, okay, how do you build the team going forward? And it's finding guys who you know can get through a major league season. I would make the argument, too, and I don't think this is hindsight. The whole we loved the Jaron Duran playing an everyday conversation, right? We loved it. It was great. Good for you, Jaron. Everything else. But in the back of our mind, every time we write the words or we talk about on the radio or we just talk among friends, every time in the back of our mind was like, a guy who plays like that is probably not going to be in a good thing in September.
519 OPS in September.
And like we can say, well, you know, they're pitching him differently. It's too much to look at when you have a guy who's playing, not only playing every day, because guys play almost every day. Marcus Semien played like 170-something games last year. But that's Marcus Semien standing stationary at second base. You know? He doesn't play like Jaron Duran, hair on fire Jaron Duran every day.
It's like you're inviting yourself for injury. And it's the same thing with Devers, who had almost no days off.
Well, that's the thing. Whether it's that or whether it's the starting pitcher and saying, give these guys a built-in break. That wasn't second guessing. That was first guessing because we've seen this enough, right?
It was first guessing. I've never heard that term.
They used to do it plenty. Like in 18 and 19, like they were giving these guys plenty of off days. But the issue this season is you can tell that they feel that they need to be so perfect to get where they need to go.
Yeah, they didn't feel like they had the backup plan. And the backup plan was sitting there all along in Richard Fitz. All right, 617-779-7937. I see everybody lined up. I'm so honored to have the Play Tessie guys here, Pat, Gordo, Sammy. Like I said, we're going to be on with you till 3 o'clock, and it's going to be awesome. I'm also going to get these guys to subscribe to the podcast, but I'm going to give them a gift. All right? You guys like gifts, right? Yes?
Of course.
We all love gifts.
What if you're already subscribed?
You know what? Doesn't matter. No, not subscribe. Like, give a 5-star review. Have you given a 5-star review to podcast?
I've surely done it.
No, you haven't.
I definitely do it. How did I get all this baseball as a boring merch?
Do it again under a different name.
All right.
And I'll read it out loud.
Log out.
All right. Speaking of gifts, here's Joe Braverman trending.
0-2 to Story with two down and the bases empty. The pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him a foul into the mitt, and the ball game is over.
Hitting it ends on a strikeout, number 20.
20th of the night, and not exactly a game that's going to the Smithsonian, but the Twins needed that one badly, and they find a way in the 12th to beat the Red Sox 4-2. So now the Red Sox, with eight games remaining, two more with these Twins, are five out of the wild card. On a night they had so many chances and could not cash them in.
Well, that's Will Fleming in the call last night. Red Sox lose, and I will miss the angry Joe Castiglione. The subtly angry, the disgusted Joe Castiglione.
It's the best. It was even better in the middle of the game. He said, "Does anyone want to win this?"
Listen, he's at 1 foot out the door. He's ready to go, but he's still bringing the fire. And so everybody should listen, appreciate, and listen, soak in everything, all things Joe Castiglione here as we get to the final day of this regular season.
Hitting it ends on a strikeout, number 20.
Exactly. Look at that disgust. The disgust. And he should be disgusted. I'm Rob Bradford. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. We're on about 3 o'clock. You've got the Play Tessie guys, at Play Tessie, the official podcast of the Boston Red Sox when it comes to WEEI, Sammy, Gordo, Pat. We are here live at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. And the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Freedom of Choice Shop deals built for you on the New England Edition F-150 official truck of the Boston Red Sox. The aforementioned Boston Red Sox. All right, as we said, you can join the conversation. This is your time to shine when it comes to venting, waxing poetic, whatever you want to do. But listen, we only got today and then maybe next week, and then you're just going to have to weather the storm. A lot of Drake May talk, a lot of Jacoby Brissett talk until we get back into boom. One of the most fascinating off seasons in the history of the Boston Red Sox. Let it be said, let it be done. I am telling you, do you guys disagree with that?
Haven't we said that for like 3 straight years?
I'm with Gordo.
I think it could be true, but they have to make it.
I think it's laid out, but here's the thing. I think they're put in the corner where they have to do things now.
They were in that corner last year.
No.
What's different?
No.
What's different?
No. I just like doing that.
No.
What's different is you. By the way, you can still finish it. I sort of was kidding. I'm not really kidding. That Toronto series is huge now. Who owns a tiebreaker?
It's got to be the Sox.
Well, it depends. I mean, I think it depends on the series.
Right now, the Sox are tied with the Rays and.
They're three up. I understand that. I'm saying the tiebreaker.
I think the Sox have the tiebreaker. Okay. But I'll figure it out.
Anyway,
I'll find it for you, Rob.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the point is that the Red Sox, they're at this point where it is. I forget even why I was saying that. No.
Saying big offseason.
You're saying
big offseason. Yeah. Because you can't finish in this place at the end of the season with the same sort of construction, with the construction of this team. Which is, we all know, like too many lefties. You can't have an outfield of all lefties. You know that you need a definitive starting pitcher. You know that you're going to be losing relievers. You know all of this.
We said all this last year.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did. The left, the right. No.
I'll tell you the one difference. The one difference is that there's minor leaguers legitimately pushing the envelope now. Like last year, we talked about how good the farm system was. Those guys were ready.
You are dealing from more so than ever. You are dealing from quote-unquote strength. In other words, you are going to trade guys.
They have to trade.
They have to trade guys who they don't want to trade, but you know you have to trade for other pieces. This is the ultimate, and I would love a good baseball trade. I love a good Zach Gallen for Jazz Chisholm trade. I love a good J.J. Blade for A.J. Puck trade. I love a good Pablo Lopez for Luis Arraez trade.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Love these, right? So let's do it.
I hope so. You know what this feels like? You ever seen the movie The Mist on the Stephen King novel? I feel like that's the offseason. I have no clue what's going to happen, and I could be attacked at any time by something bad happening, and it wouldn't shock me.
I think you could literally rattle off 100 more popular movies than that.
It's misty outside, and it gave me the vibe.
Pat, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was. I might lean more towards you. I think this is a huge offseason. I know.
Don't suck out to me.
It should be.
But last year you kind of had, I don't want to call Haim a scapegoat, but Haim was fired, you know, changing the guard, Craig's first year, all this stuff. You kind of always had something that you could kind of point a finger at. They have no fingers pointed at anybody now. Craig's locked in. You extended Cora.
Well, the only thing you could point the finger at is if you get the sense that they're going on the same 20-1, 30-1 road that John Henry laid out for his front office last year,
yeah.
then you're going to be pointing fingers. Because what you can't do, and this is, goes back, and Jeff in Watertown are going to get to you in a second, but what you can't do is one of the lessons you would hope that smart people learn from this year is that, yes, it's great to have young players, but you know what you also need? You have to have definitive guys who you know can get through a major league season. In other words, and I say it all the time, you pay for certainty. There's no such thing as absolute certainty, and that's what they tried to do with Giolito. I get that, but I'm talking about position players. I'm talking about Teoscar Hernandez. Last time I checked, Teoscar Hernandez knew how to get through a whole major league season and was pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? There you go. There's
ball player.
That advice is free.
So no finger point. We want these guys fingerless. No pointing.
The other thing that we haven't touched on, because you were
four talking, finger Cole.
Four finger
Cole. Cole has four fingers, yeah.
We were talking about, you know, Breslow, no Haim scapegoat this offseason. The other thing is Breslow came in last offseason, had to learn a whole organization on the fly right there. Now he's had a whole year. He knows, hopefully, like Dombrowski did back in the day, what prospects are good, who you like.
Well, you got, I think that he's done some good things in terms of identifying some good trades, obviously, but there's also been, especially at the deadline, you did not do a good job of evaluating players.
At least the ones you're bringing in.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah, right?
I mean, like, look at, you know, not to keep defaulting to the Dombrowski thing, but that's, you know, Steve Pierce, you identified him. You know, you did a good job with that. Nathan Eovaldi, you did a good job of doing that. And look at the Mets. The Mets identified a guy named Phil Maton. Phil Maton they got for cash in early July. They identified him. And next thing you know, he's really good and really valuable for them. Also valuable for us is Jeff in Watertown. Jeff, we've made you wait far too long. I appreciate it. Talk as long as you want, my friend. What's going on?
Well, how you guys doing? Well, first of all, I am mad, and it's funny because for most of the year, you know, I've been mad for a few years, and for most of this year, I've been entertained, and I've been encouraged, and I like Breslow. And then all of a sudden, you know, like last week, we started talking about it. Nobody's that good, and it just kills me that just for a little bit of a little more money and a little more certainty, we'd be right in this thing. And that's what really kills me. And I go back to the Yankee game when we stole the 8 bases. And that game, that's when, first of all, I think we all realized that the Yankees weren't as good as people thought they were. But secondly, that we had something that was dangerous. We had something that teams would not want to play in a short series. We had guys that could run. And to me, like, that's when, you know, so you talk about, like Zac Eflin, to me, is like the guy. That's the guy that kills me. They wanted him. They apparently gave him the money that he was looking for Tampa Bay and the tax situation, whatever. He goes there. You get a redo. You get a chance to do it again. You know, he was the one guy I thought in the whole trade deadline that was worth making a move for, and they didn't do it. Like, that's the part that kills me. And now we have to go into next year and hope that Breslow is different, hope that Breslow is the competitor that I think he is. And I don't think he will, you know, doesn't want to look like Haim Bloom. But I don't know. You know, I really don't. It's a whole year later, and the only thing I know for sure is Duran is a better player than I thought. You know, Raffaele is going to be a good player. We have the number one prospect apparently in the minor leagues and all of baseball. Do something. You know, that's all I know. Like, well, I don't know that much more.
And Jeff, I'm glad you mentioned this. Is that as you're talking, I'm thinking about, okay, you know, like Eflin, perfect, fine. You get him for another year. You fill that gap. That's the type of pitcher that we're talking about, a legit number two. Like a legit number two.
Wanted, who you identified.
Right.
You wanted,
yeah, right. Yeah. And by the way, I did, Jeff, I did the podcast with him a couple of weeks ago, and Eflin said that there were only two teams that he was looking at, and what he was looking at were the Orioles and the Phillies.
Uh-huh.
He didn't even mention the Red Sox. So, right. Like, and that's like, that shows you what that shows you with Zac Eflin is Red Sox, you have to read the room. You have to also understand not only because taxes, but because you have to pay more. You have to pay more because the guy is, he just said it. He was prioritizing the Orioles and the Phillies over everybody else. Well, if you pay more, you blow them away. This is what happens. Guys will come to your team. So don't think that, oh, my goodness, we offered the same. I can't believe he didn't come here. Well, name it. Taxes.
Five years ago, he would have done it. 5 years ago when the Red Sox had that reputation of, you know, setting their sights on a guy and paying, players wanted to come here because they knew they were going to get their money.
Jeff, I'm going to go back to the David Price, Craig Kimbrel offseason. You know, and that's an extreme. But what you did, and we know Dombrowski, what he did, said we need a top-of-the-line starter and we need a closer. That's what we need, and that's what we're going to get. We're going to get one in the trade. We're going to sign one. They overpay for Price dramatically, I mean, by $40 million or whatever. And then you say, we understand the importance of having a closer, so we're going to give up these four guys, including one of our top prospects, because we understand the value of it. And that's one of the things that they have to understand, is that there are certain positions, and closer being one of them, where you don't mess around with. You just don't mess around with. Guys, if they didn't get Chris Martin, this is one of Heim's best moves, of prioritizing Chris Martin and Kenley Jansen. If as bad as it's been, it would have been horrifically worse.
Could you imagine?
If not. But Jeff, go ahead.
And I was just going to say that they can trade anybody now. Like, this is the one thing, like, there is nobody now on this team that I would say, like, you know, it would hurt the guys I don't want to see go. But I'm, as long as they make a trade, as long as it looks to me like they're getting legitimate value and they're really looking to, you know, spend some money and use the resources they have. I mean, this has always been the strength, is the resources they have financially. You don't have to blow, you don't have to spend $100 million more. You just have to spend, you know, you have to get Zach Eflin. You got to, like, that's not, you know, that's not breaking the bank. You know, it's not going back to the days of $300 million and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But you still have that advantage, and you've got to use it. I just don't understand.
And that's another thing, Jeff, is that, you know, one of the things that I think he mentioned, the Breslow references maybe a little bit in Alex Spears' column, and I know that Chaim Bloom referenced it after they had gotten the year after they got through the Mookie thing, and I've heard other GMs say this, which is, yeah, we'll spend the money when we think that we're ready to go with the young players because we get those under control. That's when you sign the big deals, the Bryce Harpers, the Manny Machados, the Mike Trouts. You know, in Red Sox case, that's when they signed Rafael Devers. And he said, we weren't ready. I don't know if this was true or not. We weren't ready to sign a Mookie Betts. We weren't positioned that way. Well, now you are. Now, there is no excuses now. And to your point, Jeff, they could trade any of these guys, any of them. Roman Anthony, yep. Marcelo Meyer, Kyle Teal, Christian Gamble, any of them. I don't begrudge them for doing it at all, as long as you're getting something back. Yep. So,
no,
all right.
I mean, absolutely. So whatever they do, they have to do, they just can't keep repeating this. It's just, it's ludicrous. So,
I like that you're angry, Jeff.
All right, Brad.
Jeff,
well,
GM.
All right, Jeff, good hearing
from you. One more show, I guess.
One more show, all right. We think. I mean, we could take this online or something. You know?
I think we will.
Yeah. All right. Well, obviously, that's what I don't know if this new world of podcasts.
Technology is
you
scary.
Can actually talk into a microphone and do exactly what we're doing now in an entertaining and insightful fashion. All right. Before we go to break, let's go to Phil in Providence. Hey, Phil, how are you?
Hey, hi, Rob. How are you? Good afternoon.
Good
evening. Yeah, good. Yeah. Listen, they lost Sale. They didn't replace them. They lost 15 games right there. They don't spend the money. Listen, and they have it. You know, if you go back to the days of, like, the old days, Carlton Fisk, Mo Vaughn, they don't pay their players, and they never did. If there's some that they signed Devers, okay, and they got some, you know, they gave Story some money. But, you know, Devers was the one guy that they actually gave money to that was from brought up on the farm system. And Red Sox just have no, like the Yankees keep their players and they signed up, like Judge gave a big contract. You know, he's got his Henry, got to spend money. I mean, to spend money, you're going to win. I mean, you should have got a pitcher. You should have got a closer, like you said. Another bat, Trevor Story getting hurt was, it hurt him a lot because he said at the beginning of the season that I like this team. And, you know, him getting hurt was a big loss. But let me tell you right now, you look at baseball today, it is so watered down. You're never going to see another Atlanta Braves pitching staff or anything. Look at Tommy, you know, they had a guy throwing from the outfield throwing 62 miles an hour. It just goes to show how baseball is so watered down today. And if you can get some pitching and you got a good closer, as you saw in the past for the Red Sox, that you can win. What do you think on that?
Well, Phil, first of all, Joe Braverman, can you transcribe that call, please? Because I think he summarized everything that has to do with anything in baseball.
He could be an auctioneer.
The best part of that call, and I appreciate him calling him, the best part is that he literally, I give him a lot of credit, this is kudos to him, is that he touched on like literally 20 things, and then at the end he's like, what do you think about that?
I mean, to be fair, I didn't disagree with anything he said.
Really? Mo Vaughn, you still stink?
Mo Vaughn, yeah. I remember Mo Vaughn, the batting stance used to imitate that when I was playing wiffle ball, hands over my head.
Yeah.
Baby Mo.
Well, it's the point, and a point well taken about not signing your own guys until Devers. And let's be honest, guys, they were painted into a corner with Devers.
Yeah.
And for multiple reasons.
Do you even give them credit for that, or is it just kind of like you had to? I give them like 75% credit.
I mean, let's put it this way, is the Devers now that you have, you know, what's that contract look like?
Oh.
Because
when?
Well, this is the problem. I mean, Devers is an important part of this equation, and if we're going to lump, like, make the list of what happened and why they fell apart, Devers is near the top of the list because of his injuries. But I did the math this morning, and you look at, for the last four seasons, August and September, August OPS of under 700, I believe the September OPS is at 777. Like, this is the problem. And you can, yes, he's battling through injuries. Well, you got to find a way not to have injuries to battle through.
It's not the first time this has happened.
No, and this is the problem. And this has become a very real problem. And yeah, he's an important, let's not get this twisted, important part of this equation.
Rob, I feel like a big part of the issue, too, is just I feel like there's times throughout the year where you could have used a Devers IL stint. We look earlier in the season, there was that time.
Same thing. I mean, he's getting an MRI today.
But the issue is this: like, they feel like they can't survive a Devers IL stint because where does the other star power in the lineup come from? You need another. You need more.
Pat, you just threw your hands up. People can't see that.
Yeah, I did throw my hands up.
Yeah. I just threw your hands up.
You're talking about star power, like, if he were to miss the rest of this season or in the future?
I'm talking about in the future.
No, to give him a break, if he has a situation like this, to give him a break, to give him an IL stint, which they desperately didn't want to do.
Yeah, they really tried.
And I think this goes back to the pitching thing. You know, everybody could see, well, I would hope they could see, hey, Tanner Houck's going to get to this limit. Cutter Crawford's going to get to this limit. Parts unknown for these guys. Not to say they can't have successful years, but we've seen it time and time again, even in this day and age of baseball, of stars getting rest. But they didn't feel like they had what ultimately they did have in Richard Fitz. I don't know if Richard Fitz would have been that in early August, but I do know that that's the guy that they needed then.
And it's going to be good that they have that moving forward. And Quinn Priest.
Well, again, this is the problem. That, okay, you have all this encouragement from Richard Fitz, from some dabbling of Quinn Priester.
But that's got to be your depth.
That's depth. That's,
right.
That's depth. Not your guy.
But who, you say, okay, there's your rotation. I mean, you're taking Pivetta out, fine. But
he's in Chicago right now. He struck out a lot of guys last night. His name's Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, well, again, friend of the Baseball's and Boring program, you can go check out Garrett Crochet interview, which was fascinating as well. As this is fascinating, the show has been fascinating so far. We're going to be with you till 3 o'clock. You're welcome, everybody, at BB Isn't Boring, at Play Tessie, are on the socials. Joe Braverman, behind the glass, doing an excellent, excellent job. We're going to be back. We see you lined up, but you can keep on calling 617-779-7937. Be back after this. All right, we're back. Baseball's Boring, live from the Fenway Ford Clubhouse Studios. Honored, privileged, riding out the baseball season. Not riding out. That's a negative connotation. We're soaking in the baseball season.
Soaking in every last minute.
Yeah. Every single last minute. You, I mean, and honestly, guys, honestly, we're going to get to my week a little bit, maybe after the next break. We get to Gordo's honeymoon, get to all of it. All our adventures. But it is like there is plenty of stuff to talk about for this last week as we head into the end of it. And I'm turning the page where I jump aboard whatever road takes me to New York or Philadelphia or potentially Los Angeles or San Diego. I went to Miami to the Dodgers Marlins. It is so being, and this happened to me last year too. It is when you're around the morbid situation, sort of like, which is what this has become. It is, oh my goodness. It's so good when baseball matters, like pennant races matters. And when we walked in, when I walked into Tropicana Field on, was that Thursday? And the first thing you see is they have the TVs, the Cleveland Minnesota game, and there are players sitting there, like sitting there watching this. And then Cleveland wins in extra innings, and they're like, okay, let's go. And then a few hours later, it's like the sad trombone. It's like,
yeah, morbid. You said
there's no way around it. I mean, there's no way around it. Anyway, let's go back to the phone lines. You can join on in 617-779-7937. This is the radio version of the Baseballs and Boring Show, or whatever device you use to listen to it. It's awesome as long as the sound is coming out and our words are hitting your ears. All right, Allison in Cambridge. Hey, Allison, how are you?
Hi, guys. There was one step that was missing in your telling. When Haim said that about we didn't have the prospects, we didn't have the organization, that was that to not be able to keep Mookie, it was about Xander, that we should, that he said that we'd be, that it would be entirely different when it came to signing Xander. And now I'm going to go a long way around to connecting something with Xander. I know this is really nuts, but I'm going to take it from the Yiddish phrase, nerve succeeds, chutzpah gilt, which reminds me, Gordo, happy wedding, and you got married on Labor Day, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Well, my grandparents got married on the first Labor Day there ever was, September 1st, 1935. And I am Jewish, so I thought that was really neat. That I never heard of anyone else getting married on Labor Day. Okay, I have a really wacky idea about Xander. The fact is that Xander made Rafi so much better. Rafi does not want to be the leader. He can't be the leader. He doesn't speak English very well. He has to use a translator. It puts pressure on him. Xander was able to be the leader of the team, and so that helped enormously. He obviously helped Rafi become a better defensive player, and also Rafi wouldn't be playing with like no shoulders if he had Xander there. It would make Rafi that much better, and Alex Cora's job would be so much easier because then he doesn't have to be the default the leader of the team. I'm going to say it's an odd nerve succeeds because in some ways it seems like going backwards, but it really isn't. I am going to make the argument that bringing Xander back and trading to San Diego Padres, giving them Marcelo Meyer, another prospect, and John Duran and Tristan Casas, to have them pay a lot of Xander's contract would work to make our team be so much better. It also would be a team that the fans would love. I mean, the kids love the X-Man. I'm going to make an argument that sounds bizarre and maybe going backwards, but it isn't. It's chutzpah guilt. And it's nerve succeeds. It's a weird idea, but I think that it would bring a soul back to the team. It would bring a focus, and would make things. It would just put things in place so much more. And we have other young players that fit, and then try things to do to get a right-handed bat. I forgot. Is Xander lefty or righty?
Righty.
He's right.
He is a right bat. Okay. Well, there's that too. That is my idea. And anyhow,
Allison, that might be one of your best calls ever, and I am going to play that call for Xander when I see him in the World Series. So there you go. I appreciate Allison. My biggest takeaway from that, the kids love the X-Man.
The kids love
the X-Man. You got Xander's stats?
I have it up right now. He's got a 680 OPS for the season. He's hitting .261 with 10 home runs. And he had an awesome month of July.
There you go.
Every other month.
Yeah, he came back. So, and this I've been talking to people about this with Tyler O'Neill, about the whole, like, there's just certain guys that you say, if you stayed here, it would have been different. And you can't prove it. And I know people like proof, and they like science, and they like analytics. They like all of that.
You love science.
I love science, but my own science often trumps, like, the traditional science. And my science suggest there are certain players where you say, if they stayed here, it would have been different. Xander, Jason Bay, and I think Tyler O'Neill. I think Tyler Neal's one of those guys.
I thought you were going to say Hunter Renfro was about to leave.
No.
Thank you.
You're saying if Tyler O'Neill stays here,
I get it. He's been banged up a little bit, whatever, and they're going to be, oh, we just can get another right-handed bat because that's what we've been doing for the last few years. But this guy, he likes Boston. I think that if you are able to keep him healthy and he figures out a way to stay healthy more and more and more and more, I mean, there hasn't been a player – like there are a lot of times – where you hear guys in the front office says his swing is going to play to Fenway Park, right? We've heard it. You know where we heard it about?
Danny Jansen.
Pullside Danny Jansen.
Yep.
Like, that's his nickname. Pullside Danny Jansen. But Tyler O'Neill, holy mackerel, if that is the truest statement of all time.
You want to hear a funny Tyler O'Neill tidbit?
Okay.
So in terms of squaring up the ball, which is, you know, in layman's terms, hitting it well in the sweet spot, he's in the fourth percentile. So he almost never hits the ball in the sweet spot, and he still has 31 home runs. That's how strong that guy is.
Who do you want? Who would you rather have, Tyler O'Neill, Teoscar Hernandez?
Tyler O'Neill, because I can have him for 1 year.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, you are not getting Tyler O'Neill for 1 year.
If you offer him the QO, you think he says no?
Oh, maybe. I mean, maybe that way. Maybe that path.
That's what I would do.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's
a tough call.
Hey, it's September 21st. Let's go. Fall's here. Let's talk qualifying offer. All right, we got a lot to talk about, and we've already talked about a lot of stuff, but you can join the conversation, 617-779-7937. It's been a wild week, and we haven't even – I do at some point want to, again, give more flowers, more of an homage to Joe Castiglione, because when we did the show, Sammy, you were on – I was at Yankee Stadium. You were back at the Baseballs and Boring Studios in Brighton, and the next day – Joe announced his retirement. So that was, there's not enough good things we can say, but we can talk about from you guys, the Playtessie guys, Pat and Gordo and Sammy at Playtessie. They can weigh in, but join the conversation, join the fun, because that's what Baseball is Boring is all about. All right, we'll be back after this.